When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app. A Bosch.
Podcast, myself, Adi Oladipo, Rory Jennings. You know what it's like on the Men's Room podcast. We talk about absolutely anything. This episode, I have no idea how this episode is going to play out because we've got Tom Skinner with us today.
Finally.
Tom Skinner with us.
You were number one of our list, you know that. You know, when we compiled our guest list, you were number one.
Everyone in the world, me.
Obviously not that. No, but of the sort of obtainable, you know, like obtainable goals, we were thinking, who realistically, like, we're not going to get Michael Caine, but who could we get? We thought Tom Skinner would be the jewel in the crown of the people that we could potentially get.
Lovely. Well, thank you for that. I'm looking forward to doing it. I have been, but can I just say before I start, I was live on the road with Alan Brazil this morning.
It's a problem.
And literally, he was like, mate, 10 a.m, across the road, beers on me. I was like, sweet. Okay. So I've had a few beers.
Well, that's almost a ritual
for anyone that goes on to TalkSport Breakfast of Alan Brazil.
Yes,
yeah, be prepared to have a drink. Have a breakfast. Have a good breakfast because you're going to be on the beers.
He's a ledge as well, isn't he?
Yeah. What
a ledge.
Have you been anywhere particular this morning for breakfast? Did you have a?
Do you know what? You give me a fry up. TalkSport give me a fry. It was cold.
They gave you a cold fryer.
Liberty, but and I had to film. They filmed me eating it. I don't know why.
TalkSport will film any content they can, any bit they can. He's walking up the stairs. Get a camera on him now.
Yeah, they was like, right. Out of your breakfast, can you? They went. Can you make a 5-a-side West Ham team at your breakfast? I went, what?
Huh?
And that's what I thought. So I was like, well, the egg, Fabianski, it's always there, it's reliable.
I've got the beans,
Declan Rice, makes a fire. I've got the toast of Gwed, because you mop it all up like he does in the fence. They're like, this is brilliant.
How did it compare to Dino's?
Ah, Dino's is a different class, isn't it? I mean, you're talking like Champions League to, like, you know.
Yeah.
West Ham.
No.
There's a window there. There's an eye drop. Don't you start me on that.
So is that what they were doing? You were marking the canteen effectively. You had to give it your, like, did it get the Tom Skinner seal of approval?
Mate, it was nice. It was a bit cold. Like, I don't know. I like a nice hot bit of grub, but they give me a cold fry up. I ain't going to moan.
You're not going to complain. Food is food. I saw you with Ronnie O'Sullivan as well.
Ledge. Ronnie.
Absolute legend.
What a legend as well. Absolutely. And he knew who I was. He went bosh. He went bosh. He's Ronnie Bosh. Ronnie.
That's huge.
You know, it's funny because obviously I do the boxing. Yeah. I do a lot with Johnny Fisher and his dad. I thought they invented Bosch.
Yeah, no, they copied me. No.
100% thought Bosch was theirs. And then I got here today and they said, no, Tom Skinner's Bosch. I was like, well, no, it's not. It's Johnny Fisher.
No. So Johnny, Big John and Little Johnny, friends of mine. Little John, he's worked for the market.
Yeah.
And Big John used to do meat deliveries and they used to go, I remember, I go, Tom, can we drop some meat round, give it a little Bosch? I went, Coles, come round. And then... They started doing, listen, see, young Johnny's got a good career in boxing. He's doing really well.
Yeah.
And Big John just copied me with a Bosch, bless him. Like, he ain't quite the real Bosch master I am. But, I really like them. They're top guys. They're doing well. Listen, they're earning a few quid out of it and good luck to them and nice people. But the king of Bosch is me. We all know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I second what you said about Johnny. I mean, the fans are getting behind him. Wherever he goes, 3,000-4,000 people buy tickets. And Eddie Hearn loves him, so good luck to him and what he does. Let's go back a few years if we can. Tom, I feel like everyone knows about you now, but no one's going to know too much about you growing up. Where'd you grow up?
Romford.
Centre.
I said that.
You said that.
He thought maybe Canvey Island, South End. I was like,
Canvey Island?
I said, that was my guess. I said no. I said deeper Essex, didn't I?
I said maybe Romford, yeah. Dagenham, Barking. Nah, I was like, yeah.
I grew up in Romford, the centre of the universe, the best town in the world. It's a market town. It's a lovely town, good people. Started my life as obviously... lived in a house on Sims Close in Romford. Google it, nice little house, little town house in Romford. Then moved to Main Road. Used to have a paper round in Romford. Worked in a barber shop in Romford on Saturdays, and used to set up the market stalls in Romford. And
proper
my
Romford.
Whole life was in Romford. And
nightclubs in Romford.
Night, yeah.
They had a couple of good ones.
Been knocked out a few times in Romford. And knocked a few people out in Romford. But what a blinder!
You've been down Romford nightclubs?
Absolutely not. Of course, I've been to Romford.
You wouldn't last.
do you know what? I think that might be true, right? But do you know what I've noticed about...
It's a bit odd though, you know?
Do you know what I've noticed? There does seem to be a slight change in... Like, you know the very stereotypical sort of Essex boys? Like, even if you go back to when I was young, watching a film, Essex Boys, and all things like that, right? It's got a little bit more delicate. There's a lot of man bags going about, very skinny jeans going about. It's got slightly more delicate, hasn't it?
I don't know about that.
Is it not?
I don't know. Listen, like...
Fashion.
I've got mates with arms. I own a boxing gym in Essex. Boss Gym.
Where is that? Is that in Romford?
No, it's in Brentwood. I've earned a few quid. I moved out of Brentwood now. One thing I done, when I started getting a few quid and started doing... So I wanted to start to give something back. And I bought this premises and we've done Boss Gym. And and my mate Johnny's just turned pro out there. We just turned him over and we do free kids classes. That's nice. I really enjoy doing it, you know, like, and it's actually, because I would be 125 stone if I didn't go in that gym every day, because I love it. Go in there, train, work out. Arthur Dino's, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I love it.
Is that your anchor? Like, do you think, you know, when you sort of operate in a world that you do, very recognisable, people who see you will generally have something to say because you've got that very warm and open personality. Do you find that the boxing gym is the sort of sanctuary where you can go in there and just be...
Yeah, I grew up working in market stalls, right? So I'm always used to talking to people and saying bosh and whatever. And since going on the telly and doing with social media stuff, it's mental. I can't go anywhere now. But we're going bosh out the window or have us. People give me their kids. And I'm like, what? Help me kid have a photo. It's crazy. But yeah, like, I get in the boxing gym. Like, we've got some good talent coming through. Like, and obviously, it'll be under Bosch Gym and we work them up. And I love it in there. It's like my friend Huey, he runs the gym. He's a blinder. And it's a nice place to go where everyone in there is normal. It's like we come up here and it's madness.
It's mad.
Every morning we're in there. My little group of mates that I've worked with since I was a kid as well are in there, and we work out, we have a laugh, we get fit, we keep ourselves healthy, keep ourselves strong. And it's just a nice thing to do every day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got any dreams of, like, we've seen a lot of personalities dip their toe in boxing. Like, there's a world, isn't there, where there seems to
it's
be a pathway now.
It's a different thing for him, though, isn't it? Because he's a boxer personality, where they are personalities trying to box.
But not a professional boxing personality.
No, I'm nowhere near a pro, but I've boxed my whole life, and I enjoy boxing. Well, I'm not very good, because I like beer, and I like going out, and I like eating a lot. But
it's good life.
Yeah, it's good life.
That didn't sound bad, did it?
Yeah. Yeah. But I fought in March, just gone, and I'm fighting again in September, which will be good. We're going to the Circus Tavern. You know the Circus Tavern?
Mm-hmm. Where is it?
You been upstairs to the Circus Tavern?
I have.
You been upstairs?
No. What's upstairs?
Strippers.
I'm so happy I said no.
Yeah, you knew exactly. There is a sort of staircase, mate.
It's a good venue. Holds about 2,000 people. We'll sell it out, and I'm going to fight on the show there. But what I do it for is because obviously the kids coming out and they want to fight, and look, I say, well, I'll do it as well. You know, I'll do the route. I won't get double fit, but I will have 6 pints in the evening instead of 12. Or, you know what I mean? I will keep to a routine, keep fit, and I love it. I just enjoy boxing. I've always enjoyed it, I love watching it. Love supporting it.
What was school like?
School was blocked. I got expelled at 14.
What school did you go?
I went to Brentwood. Okay. Yeah, so I used to get the train from Gideon Park Station to Brentwood, and great school, enjoyed the school. Went to school, Gideon Park Primary before that. Yep. And I got expelled for being an entrepreneur, believe it or not.
What were you selling?
Trying to do the tuck shop.
I'll tell you what happened. So, My dad's. I love my dad's and my idol. He's a legend, right? He's a wheeler dealer as well. And I was working. I had paper rounds around Romford. I used to work set up stalls in Romford Market. I had a Saturday job. My dad's mate in a barber shop who learned to cut hair in prison. I don't know that one, but he was a lovely man. And every day was a bagel shop. And I used to go in this bagel shop, and it was like £1.80 for a buttered sausage bagel. And I remember going to my dad, I went, my mate Warren, he gets a fiver a day off his dad, sometimes a tenner. I said, you don't give me nothing. He said, well, mate, why would I give you any money? He said, like, you're grafting, you got your paper round. You're on the market still setting up stalls. He said, and you're in the barbershop, everyone gives you a fiver tip. You're doing all right for a young kid. I said, come on, dad, help me out a little bit. He said, I ain't going to give you no money, but I will find you something else to earn money at school, and thank you very much. So I come home from football training one night, and my dad and my uncle Alan are in the front room, booze, had a few beers, and there's a suitcase in the middle of the front room. And he goes, come in, I've got something for you. So like, lovely. He said, open up that suitcase. I'm like, that's sweet. So I've unzipped it, opened it out, and it is stacked to the brim of porno DVDs and them little thin plastics. Yeah. There's got to be a 1,000 in this suitcase. It is full. I've gone, sweet, Dad. He's gone, right. He's gone, you return me £1 each per DVD. He said, and what you do, he said, all your mates, he said, listen, you're all going to love that. He said, you go, £3 each, two or a fiver. I went, sweet, Dad. He went, sweet, you made a few quid. I went, all right, no worries. Next day, I goes to school, puts a suitcase in my locker, got a drawstring JD bag that everyone had. Everyone had one, right? And I remember, so I took £200 or £300 on his house, add it off. I was like, wow, I've never earned so much money, yeah? Give me £80 back for each DVD. Next day, same again. Anyway, third day goes again. Now my JD bag's getting a bit tatty, getting a bit torn at the sides. And I'm in the lunch hall, and I'll never forget, I'm going, miss, I left the sausage and mash, I left the beans, and I've leaned over, lovely, I left that for dessert. Boom, as I've leaned over, my bag has gone bosh. Yeah,
bosh.
It's split, and there's an assortium of porno DVDs all over the floor of the lunch hall. I've gone, oh my God. This geography teacher absolutely hated me. He didn't like me. He said, he's a wrong and that bit, that Tom's kid's a wrong. He's gone, what are these, Thomas? I've gone, well, sir, they're an assortium of porno DVDs. He's gone straight to the headmaster's office for fuck's sake. So, got sent to the headmaster's office, and I'm sitting there and I'm waiting, and I remember he went, I'm going to have to ring your parents. And I was thinking, please ring my mum. My mum's so chilled out, laid back, wouldn't say boo or goose, lovely. Whereas my dad's mad, right? So I'm thinking, please ring me. Not for me.
Well, no, your dad's the accomplice here. So
yeah,
I know. Right,
well, that's
right.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, my mum, oh, I'm so sorry about my boy. Yeah. Oh, he's a naughty boy. My dad was like, oh, bollocks. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to make things up. I'm going to ring your dad. I thought, oh, for fuck's sake. Not for me, for him.
Yeah.
Anyway, he sits there. He rings me dad. Phone goes. And my dad's obviously in a pub somewhere. And he goes, he's in what? Oh, well, I'll be there in half hour. So my dad drives, probably in Raynham somewhere. He drives down to the school. And I'm sitting on little chairs outside the office. And my dad walks through. And my dad never wears a suit. But for whatever reason, he had a suit on. I don't know why. What he was doing, he had a suit on. I looked at him, what the fuck are you wearing? And he went, you all right? I went, yeah. I went, Dad, he's a wanker. he's going, don't worry, I'll smooth it over. All right, lovely, Dad, thank you. Goes into the headmaster's office and sits down on the chairs, and he goes, Mr. Skinner, your son has been selling illegal counterfeit porno DVDs in the school. It's illegal. He said, let me just stop you right there, mate. He said, look, my boy's a lot of things. I said, but what it is, he said, I'm trying to teach him how to buy and sell. I want to learn him how to earn money. I don't want him nicking fivers off me, because all his mates get fivers to go to school with. I don't want him to be a little spoiled brat. I want him to know how to learn money. He's gone, yeah, but Mr. Skinner, these are illegal. He goes, he went, no. He went, I know. He said, what it was, I was in the pub. He said, the Chinese fella coming with a big suitcase. I bought the old suitcase because he looked like he needed a few quid. And I thought, I'd give him a little Tommy to go and sell at school. He went, what? He said, so you can't have a go at him because it's my fault. I'm teaching him how to buy and sell. Anyway, he's looked at him. He went, but Mr. Skinner, this is very illegal. I have to ring the police. And my dad went, no, you can't ring the old Bill. Don't be like that. It's my fault. Anyway, they're having an argument. I'm sitting like this. Next thing you know, bang, it was my last day of school. I got expelled. And that was it. Done. Got thrown out of school. And I was allowed to go back 2 years later to do my GCSEs. But I left school. And I remember walking back to the car with my dad. And I went, Dad, am I in trouble? He went, nah, mate, you ain't in trouble. This is how you learn life. Like, he said, listen, he said, it's my fault. He said, you ain't in trouble. That's life. Boom. And then the next week, I was working in my dad's factory, paying off 50p stickers on DVDs and putting sweet shops with him.
Gosh. So from there, what happened between that moment and then I suppose the rise to prominence came off the back of The Apprentice?
Yeah, The Apprentice. So, I mean, after that, I mean, obviously I was working with my dad, working the market stalls. I used to work Chris Tree. I used to work Dagenham. I used to work Bob in the Market. I used to work everywhere, even car boot sales. There wasn't a commodity that I didn't sell. I sold absolutely everything. Anything I'd get my hands on cheap, I was selling. And I used to do well for myself, but I was a big spender.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, I used to love going to West End, like, bottle of champagne. Like, say if I went on a Saturday market, earned a grand, Sunday I'd be skint again. That was me, yeah. I was like a big spender, love grafting, love working, but I love spending money, and I've got this taste for a good life. And then as I got a bit older, obviously met my wife now, we've got a little boy with, she's pregnant with twins, like life's going brilliant.
No,
thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hopefully they're mine. I'm done. When I met her, I started knuckling. I thought, do you know what? I ain't going to be spunking all my money every week. I'm going to settle down. I want to be with this lady. I love her to pieces, Sinead. And I started sitting down. I started doing pillows. I started getting a little round for myself. And what I'd done was, we was living together, and she went, I need some money for some pillows. No problem. How much? 98 quid each. I went, how the fuck is a pillow 98 quid or whatever, 92, yeah, whatever it was, 90 odd quid. And she went, but it's a tempur cloud pillow, yeah. Tom, you got to have one. I went, all right, sweet. So I got this pillow, and I was selling pillows 2 for 5 on the market anyway. And the geezer I used to get them from, I thought he lived up in Manchester, Yorkshire, and I said, I went up and see him, and I went, I said, brother, I said, your name is Jamal. I said, Jamal, I said, this pillow here, I said, like, it's 90 odd quid. I said, can we make something like it? She said, bring it down. I drove down here, give him the pillow. He cuts it open. Boom, 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 boom. Some pillows fucked. Cuts it open. We copied it, and he went, I can make them for about 9 or 8 quid. I said, straight? He said, straight, same pillow, 9 or 8 quid. I said, fucking hell, we better make a few. Anyway, So I borrowed some money from my pal, and we made a load of them, we copied it, and I started getting around, going around all these shops with these pillows. You go, there's 20 pillows, sell it, turn, I'll come in next week, whatever you sold for. And because they were so cheap, they was as good as the big brand ones, I was doing like 10 pillows a week in all these different shops. I got loads of shops. Got
so four. How were you doing that though? Were you just going blind to bedding shops and going, look, I was walking in going,
mate, you got a bed shop, I've got the pillars, there they are, sale of a turn, they're going to cost you, I think, like 17, 18 quid, you go 30 quid of them, they're a third the price of the retail, bish, bash, bosh, sale of a turn, you can't, and then everywhere I come back and collect the money.
Right. Bloody. Proper entrepreneurial.
I started having it off, to be fair. And then at the time, now, my wife, well, at the time, she was my fiance, I believe, back in 2018, 2019. She loves, mate, she's the biggest Apprentice fan there is. She puts a tie on when the show comes on. She's a serious Apprentice fan. And I think we was around my mum's house, but having a takeaway, to be fair. And she's like, Tom, I'm going to put you forward with this show. And I'm on the iPad looking at the football scores. I'm like, you what? She went, you've got to do The Apprentice. Now, bear in mind, I'm dyslexic. I struggle reading and writing. Like, I've sold shit out of the back of a van my whole life. Yeah. Like, I'm not really a business person. I'm a grafter. I work hard, but I ain't really. And she went, I'm going to put you forward for it. You've never had that money behind you to crack on. Like, have a go. So I went, all right, lovely. So she's filled the forms out, all lies. Yeah. All lies. Tom's going to immaculate, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this, yeah, that, yeah, the other. Yeah, he went to Oxford University. All lies. And she sent it off to The Apprentice, forgot all about it. Months went past. Spain, she gets an email, would love to have him for an interview. Well, I've done what anyone would do. Gone to Lakeside Shopping Centre, bought myself a new Ralph Rempo and a pair of Timberland boots.
Got to do what you got to do.
Rolled out to Oxford Street in West London for the interview, and I'm the only person in without a three-piece suit on. I've done it wrong in here. Went in there, had a laugh, met some people, and I remember everyone was going, well, I'm a city trader doing oil in the city down at Cheapskate, Liverpool Street. Yeah. And I work for HSBC, and I'm a corporate bank, I've been in university. I'm thinking, I am massively out of touch here. Like, I ain't got a clue. And they've gone, Tom. And I said, well, listen, I'm Tom Skinner. I can earn a few quid. I can make a few quid. I'll earn a little sugar, a few quid. Bang, next thing, I'm I'm going through the stages and I get the email and I get the show and I get the show. Yeah. But one of the funny things is, I'll tell you this one now, yeah, was before, I've told a few of my mates. Now, none of my mates believe me. I've gone, they didn't believe me. They thought I was all talking bollocks, right?
Yeah.
So I was getting prank calls. Hello, Tom, it's me at the BBC. Like, so when they actually rung me and said I've got the show, I actually went, oh, fuck off. Put the phone down, just with her number. 5 minutes later, and Tom, it's really us. And I was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry, mate. My mates didn't wind me up. And I got the show, and it was, honestly, the best thing I've ever done. Like, it was, I was away from my family for 7 weeks, no phone, in a house. And that's when, obviously, I realised I said bosh a lot more than what I did. I've always said it on the market. But, and then you film this show for 7 weeks, right? And you're away for 7 weeks. Now, when I got back, now my mate Big Lanks, who I've worked with my whole life, is my mate. He's called Big Lanks because he is 6'8", covered in snake tattoos. In fact, he's so scary. When he's delivering mattresses for me, people ring, I go, hi, is that, oh, Tom, there's a man at my door with all snake tattoos. Oh, no, he's a delivery driver. Don't worry, he's all right. And he spread a rumour. He spread a rumour when I was away filming, and he said, he went, oh, have you heard what happened to Tom Skinner? And they've gone, no, where is he? Mate, they've only nicked him. He's in Chelmsford prison, isn't he? Yeah. He's told all my pals is. They've all believed him. Yeah. So when I've come back from film, was at a barbecue. My mates are trying to go, he's 100 quid, Tom. Well done, eh? You all right? You gadget. Yeah. And I'm thinking, I've been filming The Apprentice, you pricks. Oh, shut up, Tom. We know you've been. You're all right. How you doing? You're all right. You're all right. I've been filming The Apprentice. Shut up, Tom. Don't lie to us, you mug. You've been nicked, haven't you? Selling snide on the market again. No, I'm telling you straight. I ain't. Yeah? And none of them believe me. None of them believe that. So this rumour went around that I was in prison. Anyway, I think 4 or 5 months come past to when it's coming out. Yeah. Also, and I'm front page of the newspaper.
Mate.
Tom Skinner. They was like, he was telling the truth.
Yeah, give me 100 quid back.
Went mad.
Mate, honestly, watching that, your rise from that and you now, it's like a movie. Like, you could make a movie of it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's,
have there been any, all this is positive, isn't it? Have there been any negatives of the fame?
Not really, no, honestly, I'll be honest, I've been so lucky, touch wood, that I'm just a normal person. Like, I don't try and say that I'm anything that I ain't.
Yeah.
I'm a market trader from Romford that's worked hard, you know what I mean? Like, I'm nothing special. I'm an everyday man. I go in the cafe every morning. Mm. I've got a lovely family, a beautiful wife. I've got a lovely little boy. I've got twins on the way. Like,
living the dream.
I want to do well for my family, and that's me, you know what I mean?
Has it changed? Are you still, because now, obviously, you are one of the most recognisable faces in the country. Are you now doing more and more media work and then
it's
less?
Insane.
Yeah.
Mate, it's
is the pillar business still going?
No, so unfortunately, he died, dropped down dead with COVID during the COVID lockdown.
Did he?
Yeah, mate, sad, because I was having it off the pillar. bless him.
I thought people would have been loving that during COVID, memory foam and all that.
Mate, during COVID, I bought a van, I was out doing mattresses, pillars, I done well for myself, I worked hard, I bought myself a Bentley off the back of it, like, and I've never had a Bentley in my life. And I'll tell you another funny story, right? So I've got a few quid behind me, I'm doing well, and me and Shay just got a house, we moved to Brentwood now, it's 2020, and I rang my dad, I went, Dad, when I've been having it this year, I've never earned so much money. He said, mate, I'm so proud of you. Well done. Keep cracking on. I said, Dad, I found this Bentley online down at a Bentley garage in Tunbridge Wells. I'm in love with it. He said, mate, be careful. I know about cars. I bought and sold cars my whole life. You don't go and buy the first Bentley, you see. I said, yeah, but Dad, I've done really well. I've always dreamt of it. My dreams of a Bentley GT. I've always dreamt of having one. He said, well, Tom, let me come with you because I know about cars. I'm an expert. When the fuck was you an expert? So I went, oh, sweet. So he went, do you know what? I'll pick you up. And we'd been having it through lockdown. And I remember this. I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Fuck it. Right? So I had a carry bag with the cash for the car in the carrier bag. My dad's picked me up. I threw the bag in the boot of the car. We're driving down to his showroom. And my dad's going, right, mate. He said, in my life, he said, I'm 60 odd years old now. I've bought hundreds of cars. You don't buy the first car you see, you look around it, you tell the dealer you ain't interested. You let them know that, listen, you know what you're talking about.
It's probably right there, yeah, it's probably right. Yeah.
But we're going there today, it's a very big investment, it's a big car, it's an expensive car. we're not going to bite Tom. He said, no, he said, but pretend you're injured. I'll tell him that, look, he ain't that quite keen, and we'll play it off and we'll try and get a few quid off. And I went, all right, Dad, thank you very much. We've pulled up on this beautiful black Bentley GT with the cream orange leather seats and all the chrome wheels. He went, fucking hell, Tom, you got to buy it. And I bought myself his Bentley. And I,
that's
and I loved it. I loved it, and I had it for a little while. And I had to sell it when I was sitting on another cupboard to get some money back in. Yeah. And it's honestly, my whole life has been insane. It's been insane.
That's brilliant. So now, it's the media work now? Is that the...
So I own a few businesses. I obviously own Bosch Gym, Bosch Workwear. We make like things like this. Yeah. So if you've got a company, go to Bosch Workwear. If you've got a scaffolding company, a building company, you want personalised T-shirts, body warmers, we're based in Southwest London and we can make you whatever you want. Yeah, Bosch comms, we've got another thing happening at the minute, so everything's Bosch brand and we're just working hard. And look, I am trying to put my finger as many pies as I can. I want a secure future for my children, so when they get older, they've got a few quid.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they ain't got to be on market still selling stolen gear.
Has it always been a motivator for you? You know, if effectively, when you were a kid and maybe struggling, was being wealthy always a motivator?
Yeah, I mean, look. When I grew up, from a kid to my late teens, like, my dad always done well. We always had a few quid, yeah? And we had a lovely house, good up. When my mum and dad split up when I was in my later teens, you know, my dad wasn't working, mum wasn't working. We went through hard times. And I never forget this time, and I always say this. I was, like, bear in mind, I had the best upbringing ever, and I could never knock anyone off. Honestly, I had a lovely upbringing, fantastic. But when I got a bit older, it was hard, very hard. And I remember my mum had a two-up, two-down house, and I used to sleep on a pull-out bed on the floor, yeah, a little pull-out futon. I never had a bedroom. My brother and sister were upstairs with my mum, because mum and dad wasn't together. And I had no money, and I was so embarrassed that I was on the floor. I used to wake up before they woke up, and whether I had no money, whatever, I should get out of the house, go on earth, whatever I was doing, and I would come home after they went to bed because I didn't want to be there. And I think, I always look back at that time and think, you know what, Tom, you've done all right. You know what I mean? I've got a big house now, I've got the nice cars, I've got a lovely family, and I've set myself in life that I'll be okay. And I always look back to that time and I think, you know what, mate, you slept on the floor, you had no dough, like, you worked hard, you've done a bit of telework that helped, and you've done all right. So that's
great, though. I think that there's a culture that seems to be like quite prevalent at the moment where people are very sneery about people that do well. And I think that we kind of look down on people that are driven to succeed, driven to be financially secure. But I think that upwardly mobile story is like inspirational. I think that's how you should be. You're looking to provide for your family, looking to secure your future. And I think it's a brilliant trajectory.
And enjoy life whilst doing it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I have enjoyed life more than anyone. Like, there ain't anyone that's enjoyed life more than me.
I follow you on Instagram, you might be right.
honestly, I swear to you, like, my whole life, I've learned this in life, and anyone watching can listen to this, right? There's a couple of things in life. Good people around you. Don't have people around you trying to suck you dry and pull you down. Find people that do, if you find people that are doing better than you, go and listen to them. Look, I'm like a sponge. I absorb things all the time. You know what I mean? I'm trying to learn. Listen, I don't know anything at all. I'm just learning. Every day's a learning curve. And if you can push yourself, graft hard, be around good people, you will get there. No matter how bad your life is, how skint you are, no work on, your van's broke down, you can't... Trust me, keep going. Don't give up. When you give up, that's when you finish. You've got to carry on. Yes. That's it.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
You spoke about your wife, obviously, that's the love. Your kids are your love, but let's talk about your first love, West Ham.
Come on, you Irons.
Come on, you Irons.
I'm so bored of West Ham. I'm so anti-West Ham. I'm gutted that they're not going down. Like, genuinely gutted.
Chelsea boy.
I'm so gutted. Do you know why? I'm sorry to just be so, like, anti and, like, change the entire course of this podcast.
It was going really well, then you started piping up over it. Do you know what it is? I just can't bear it.
It all started when you went on that Europa League run. Do you remember all that West Ham massive nonsense? It drove me mad.
West Ham are massive. Everywhere we go.
There's far too many West Ham fans in my life. And it's because it's so misleading. It's so not true. I've heard that David Moyes might be having a bit of a run for his money in the dugout stakes at West Ham.
So what happened was, so I was actually in Dino's cafe having me breakfast, yeah. Phone rings. It's going to sound really muggy now, but I've got a manager and I here. So
he's got an agent.
Romford, my manager phoned me.
Emmy breakfast. They've gone. He's gone. All right, Tom. Can you? He's gone. Mate, listen. A massive opportunity's come through. I said, what's that? Said, they want you to manage a West Ham side. I went, what? Whoa. Slow down. Shh. Everyone. Shh.
Yeah.
What? They need you to manage West Ham. Mate, I can do that. Where we got to be?
The answer's yes. I don't even know what. They've gone right. So next week,
Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m., you need to be at London Stadium.
Bloody hell. Can't believe it.
So I run with Dad. Dad, guess what? West Ham, when we come down from a meeting, but imagine, he went, wow, fantastic.
What story that is. Where you come from? I know. My whole life team supporting them. It's mental.
And then, so my dad's rung his best mate, my Uncle Steve. And then, my mate called a cab. He's a black cab driver in London. Ended up becoming my full-time driver because we're busy doing bits and pieces and we can sit in the back of a black cab, go through bus lanes and miss the traffic.
Wonderful.
Love that. Love supporting that. My dad's a black cab driver.
Up the black cabbies. He's gone, Tom, he said, I'll be at yours at half eight. Gives us an hour to get down and get a bacon roll and go. And I said, love it. I said, see you in the morning. This is the day before. So anyway, in my house, and I've got a nice driveway, and you can see the cars coming in. My bedroom's on the front of the house. So I'm upstairs getting dressed in a mirror, doing my hair. Not that I look like I do it, but I'm doing my hair like that. And all of a sudden, the black cab's pulled in, my mate Cole. Yeah, and I've looked at it and I was thinking, who's that in the back of the cab? Like, who are they? Yeah, and I think, why is there two people in the back of the cab? Anyway, his text phone's gone outside, 2 minutes just doing my hair. Boom. Kiss me, wife, mwah, kiss me, boy, mwah. See you later on. Walk down the stairs, I get the cab, open the door. I said, all right, Dad, all right, Uncle Steve, what are you doing here? So, what are you doing? They was like, you having a meeting West Ham?
We're coming.
Was that the Uncle Steve that was on the phone earlier?
Yeah. Mate, they're in the cab. I was like, listen, please don't mess it up for me, yeah? Please. He's like, no, it's West Ham, we're going to come with you for guidance.
For guidance?
You both stink of booze. So I've jumped in the cab, it goes down to get the West Ham, we goes in there, boom. Someone says, right, they're going to come and meet you now, boom. We sat in the captain's lounge and we're sitting there and I'm all excited, don't really know how to meet him. My dad's sitting there, my Uncle Steve's sitting there, my manager's sitting there, my PR person's sitting over there.
It's changed, look at it, it's completely changed.
You make eyes over, no. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, what's going on? They've come and they've gone and they all sat down, they've got his laptops out and the guys at West Ham, Tony Watson, Dave and Jack, they're blinders, they're nice people. And they've gone, right, Tom, you are famous now. I was like, well, yeah, a little bit. You're famous for saying Bosch, famous for being a West Ham fan, famous for this, that. I went, oh, thank you very much. We're going to put a West Ham team together and we're going to go in the TST in North Carolina in June. Okay, brilliant. Suppose you want me to put a post on Instagram.
Yeah.
No. We want you to manage the team.
That's unreal.
And I went, whoa.
That's unreal.
I said, what? Matt, I said, hang on a minute. I said, I don't really know a lot about managing football apart from on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
I said, Tom, you've got what it takes. Really? What? Have I got what it takes? Really? Anyway, so they started talking. And then Tony's gone. So we need to leave on the 1st of June out in North Carolina. We're going to land there. We're going to do it. Dad's gone, whoa, hang on a minute, mate. Just so you know, me and Uncle Steve, when we get on the plane, we only turn left. Yeah. I've gone, shut up, don't ruin it for me. It's my big moment. Don't ruin it. Yeah. And we had a laugh, this, that, the other. And said, no, seriously, we're going to do the TST. We're going to try and build the West Ham brand in America. And we'd love you to be the manager. I'd love you to be part of the team.
I've noticed they've done that actually recently. Well, Carlton Cole's out there quite a lot doing
that. So obviously, Carlton Cole, we plan on, Carlton Cole, legend, by the way.
Legend.
So obviously, Dortmund are out there, Wolves are out there.
And do you know who you're playing?
Yeah, mate, there's 36 or 34 teams, 7 aside, in America, £1 million up for grabs.
In Charlotte?
In
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
I think that'll be Charlotte. I went there with Chelsea once. It's brilliant, mate.
Mate, honestly, and Ryan Reynolds has got a team for Wrexham.
Yeah.
I'll be up against Ryan Reynolds as a manager because he'll be managing Wrexham.
Oh, my God.
Mate, it's insane.
Hashtag are doing that as well.
Hashtag United.
Hashtag are doing it, yeah.
Mate, it's
that's incredible. Wolves
are out there. It's insane.
That's incredible.
That's got to be that's it, isn't it? You've retired, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, life's been clocked. Like, done life. Yeah.
You know what's going to happen as well. Obviously, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to get pissed on Stella. So, what am I doing a brand deal with? I'm going to get out of there. I'm going to have a few beers. I'm going to just give it. Come on, look, score a goal. That's all you got to do.
And do you know who's playing for you? So you've got Savon, you've got Carlton Cole.
We've got Savon Irons, we've like got Carlton Cole. Yeah, we've got legends.
Surely,
Nobbs. Yeah.
Surely he's going to play Nobbs.
I don't know yet. We're still going for the team. But obviously, we've got Marlon Harewood. Anton Ferdinand.
Anton's going.
Listen, Jack Collinson.
He lives out there, doesn't he? He's in Miami.
Ricardo Vazte scored a fucking absolute pinger.
Jesus Christ.
Mate, we've got some legends playing. Hayden Mullins. Honestly, we've got a very, very good team 10 years ago. We've got some fantastic players who are West Ham through and through. And look, to have the honour to manage them, I'm honoured. You know, I'm over the moon. I can't wait to get out there. And if we win it, David Crazy. Moyes will be us. He'll be like, Tommy.
Yeah. This could be it, though. You never know. This could be the moment.
What's that program? Ted Lasso.
This is Ted Lasso. What next for you? You've done so much. You're doing so well still. Is there like this big, massive goal out there?
Yeah, I mean, the goal is to do the jungle.
Do you want to do it?
I've been having talks about doing it. Listen, it ain't nothing set in stone yet, but
that's hard.
The jungle, man, I would lose a right fucking. I would lose.
Everyone says that to go in there. You'd come out looking like David A. Remember when he went in there?
Yeah.
But all eating monkeys, balls, and animals.
The goal in life for me, is I'll be honest with you, every single goal I've ever set in my life, I've hit all of them. And I think just win the jungle, that'll be the crown on the top.
America? Crack America? Do a second.
Yeah, go out there, just start saying Bosch in America. I mean, I'm out there in North Carolina. But I think, look, just carry on doing well, building myself up. All my mates are working around me. I'm getting all my mates work now as well, which I love to do. And provide for my family and just carry on. Yeah, just carry. Hopefully, I'm on this train journey. Yeah, I'm on this mad train that don't stop. It's like a super speed bullet train, and I'm on it, and I'm piling it, and I don't know what's going on, and it's a crazy life at the minute. But look, if I can bring my friends, my family with me, I'll carry on doing it. Nick a few quid because it ain't gonna last forever. Nick a few quid, carry on going, win at West Ham in North Carolina. You know, become mayor of London, run the country, and then probably that's it really.
It's crazy though because you get those random people that go for like mayors.
Yeah,
I would love to see the numbers you could get of support. It would be crazy, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, mate, you've got one vote, I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Well, honestly, listen this way. So I've done a speech at the Oxford Union, Oxford University. Yeah. Bear in mind, they've got
what
a book.
What are you doing there?
Exactly. There's a book, yeah? And in the book, they've got Barack Obama. Listen to this one. Barack Obama, John Major, Johnny Depp, Ricky Gervais, Matt Hancock, and I turned around and they said, do you want to write a song? Because I'm doing the speech. I thought, how am I in this situation? I've just put Tom Skinner, Be Lucky, Bosch.
You say that, and we can have a laugh about what you're doing there, but I mean, even the fact that you went for The Apprentice, and as you say, everyone there has university degrees and masters, and they work for banks, and you're probably the most successful person out of that apprentice run.
You still pals with anyone from your crew?
All of them. I speak to Lil Sugar a bit on WhatsApp.
Do you?
Mate, I'll tell you a funny story, actually, because I might get in trouble here, but I'm going to say it anyway. So I had these Rolex wall clocks, and there was like copies of Rolex clocks, and I've got a WhatsApp group with about 300 people in it. And anytime I get anything, mirrors or cars, I go, boom, in the group box.
Even now, still?
I can't stop, mate. You cannot stop the asshole. Once you start, you never start, and I love it. And I had these Rolex wall clocks coming, and for whatever reason, I've added Lil Sugar accidentally, by the way, to the WhatsApp group, to the WhatsApp broadcast. Yeah. Sitting out the pitch to all these Rolex wall clocks, the Daytonas, the Submariners, the Deep Sea Dive, whatever they are, bosh out there. These lovely Rolex wall clocks, 150 each or three or whatever, three or 400 quid, I can't remember what it was. Sent it out and ding, ding, I'll have two, I'll have this, I'll have one in the kitchen, bosh, but anyway, I'm sitting there, boom. Lil Sugar, hello mate, can you pop down to my office in Latton? My son wants a couple and so do I. So I've drove straight down there. I thought, lovely. And Lil Sugar, honestly, he bought about 20 of these clocks. Sent some out to America, to his office, sent to his own. His son had some. And bear in mind, he's got a lovely family, nice people. And I still deal with them all the time. And about 6 months went past, and Lil Sugar is on Sky News. Behind him, and I was like, I sold him them.
He must love it though. When you came for the door, he must have loved seeing you.
Yeah,
because he's seen thousands of the others.
Yeah.
Like literally, you could copy and paste.
I think he sees something within, like his whole journey isn't dissimilar.
You watch him on Twitter.
He was bricklaying that way, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah,
is that where he's from?
Hackney boy.
So there you go. So he's probably seen
it. Listen, like. My dad's from Hackney, all my family from East London, from around that way, you know what I mean? I grew up in Romford, like, he went to me, he was like, mate, you know what I like about you? So he said, you always hold the door open. I went, because I didn't realise, little
things like that.
You know when you talk about basic manners,
that,
hold the door open, say please, say thank you, basic manners, I've always been about manners. My little boy, I'm teaching my little boy, I'm going to say thank you, he goes, daddy, thank you. It's all about manners. Like,
yeah, of course.
And I think he just liked I've got manners, I'm respectful, and I work hard, and that's about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Superb. This has been fantastic.
Any more shows for you on TalkSport? I think you'd be perfect for TalkSport.
Yeah. Mate, I think you'd
be absolutely fantastic.
I will do any show. Listen, I'll do anything for a few quid. I'm enjoying life, and look, whatever comes my way, I'll do.
Yeah, brilliant pod. Thank you so much, Tom. We really do mean it. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it, and a bosh.
ToolStation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the ToolStation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with ToolStation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the ToolStation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.